Masa B'chalav, Shir 2. So we got up to the Igros Moshe. Sorry, I'm tired. Chalav Akum, Shir 2. Yesterday we saw that there's a machlokas between the Tashbates, Prichadash, Radvaz on the one hand, though they might be different from each other, but more or less say that if there's no realistic concern that there's any davar tamei nischal of its mutter, whereas the Chassam Sofer and those who support him, maybe Rashi, maybe the Rashba, maybe the Rama, maybe the Shach, so they all hold that no, even if there's no concern, we apply the principle of batla taima lo batla takana. So Rav Moshe deals with the situation in America, and he says that America might be different because there's government supervision that ensures that there's no chalav tameh mixed into the chalav tahor. Now, there are many poskim that say that this would be sufficient according to the Prichadash and the Radvaz. Among those who say that is the Chazon Ish, same place, Yerideya, Mem Aleph, Sifkat and Dalid, as well as the Minchas Yitzchak, Chelek Tes, Pei Aleph, Shevet HaLevi, Chelek Dalid, Pei Zayin, Chalkas Yaakov, Chelek Gimel, Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches. They all assume that government supervision would allow the milk to be permissible if you follow the Prichadash. However, Rav Moshe goes one step further. Rav Moshe writes that this would be true even according to the Chassam Sofer. That you could even drink milk in America according to the Chassam Sofer. In fact, he sounds like the halacha really is to follow the Machmir view. We're not Mekel like the Prichadash. However, we're Mekel in America for a different reason. So in the first tshuva that he talks about this, at the very end of Yerideya Chelek Aleph Siman Mem Vav, he gives a smaller chiddush. He says, well, it's because of mirsas. In other words, yesterday we saw in the Gemara that mirsas works over here. For example, if the guy has behemah tmeah and the Jew's outside, even though he doesn't look inside, it's still considered chalav shirah Yisrael. Why? Because the guy is afraid. So here, the guy's afraid. Why? Because of government supervision. Then, though, in Siman Mem Zayin, he takes one giant step forward, and he says that this isn't just mirsas, but he introduces a chiddush that relates not just to the sugya of chalav akum, but is a sugya of b'chalav tahor kula. That anytime you have certain knowledge, yediyah brura, so then that halachically has the status of ri'iyah. It's what Chazal referred to as an anansadi, as you read in the tshuva, even in cases where, for example, we require edus l'kiyum adavar, this would suffice. Then he clears in Mentes about that point. But certain knowledge is beyond the normal rules. It's ki'ilu, you saw it. So therefore, it's going to work, even according to the Prichadash. Why? The Prichadash, sorry, I'm really off today. The Chassam Sofer. What the Chassam Sofer says, that you need Ri'iyah Mamish, even if there's no concern. This is Ri'iyah Mamish. Ah, you don't see it. Doesn't matter that you don't see it. Because Yediyah Brura is halachically equivalent to Ri'iyah. It's an Anan Tzadi. And he brings all sorts of very fascinating proofs, none of which are from Basar B'chalav per se, Chalav Akum per se, but all sorts of proofs that that this is true. That's basically the chiddush of Rav Moshe. And he thinks this is a very strong kula. He writes, De'ein tam lachlok b'zeh. And
why does he say it's Yediyah Brura again?
Because it's certain knowledge. In America, due to government supervision and other factors, the milk that was served this morning at breakfast. So you are, because of government supervision and other factors, you are 100% certain that it's cow's milk.
Now, if I know that in, a 10 mile radius, there is no non-kosher animals, why is that any worse? Why is that any less?
Still, there's a chance that they brought it in. In other words, you're right. You're saying a very good point, which is, Rav Moshe says, well, in Europe, they were machmir, because we don't hold to the Prichadash. Comes to America, it's a different story, right? What makes America so different? There weren't any camels in Krakow either. So you're right. In Krakow, they were only mekel because of the Prichadash. Why? There were non-kosher animals around. So it's true. It's very far-fetched and unlikely that they actually milked the sus in order to give you and put it in. Okay? It's true. It is quite unlikely. But we wouldn't call it yedia brura. But once there's government supervision, there is yedia brura. Now, Rav Moshe is absolutely a big chiddush, because you could have said things didn't change so much. In Europe, we were sure, and in America, we were sure. So he's saying, no, in Europe, we were pretty sure. And pretty sure is enough for the Pri Chadash. But in America, we were certain. And certainty is enough for the Chasam Sofer. And one of the reasons for that certainty is the government supervision. And in the later Tshuvos, somebody asked him, well, one second, the supervision isn't so great. The fine is Nishta Zegeferlach. It's $25, maybe $100, and you could bribe the guy. But he says, still, what are the odds that anyone's going to be worth willing to do it? See, it's true, you'll bribe the government inspector. Then you have to bribe all your workers, so they won't tell. And what do you gain from it? The milk costs five times the price. So all the various factors that exist in America bring it from near certainty to certainty. And once you have certainty, then that's ki'ilu you saw it. And the Chasam Sofer would agree, anytime it's ki'ilu you saw it. That's basically his theory.
Why does now, he have to be machren then? Like, so what's that?
So why does he say, so we're talking about that at breakfast this morning, which is, why does he say, if he's so certain this is right, and he is certain, Dain tam lach lek b'zeh, there's no reason to argue with me. Barer, right? So why should a Baal Nefesh be machmir? And not just a Baal Nefesh, we saw his Tshuva and Chelek Beis, where he says that yeshiva should be machmir, even though it's more expensive to be mechanech. You know, part of the yeshiva's job, as we talked about yesterday, is to be mechanech the children in Isurim. And by going ahead and spending the extra money to get the Chal of Yisrael milk, so you're being mechanech them in the zehiras a person has to have in Isurim, how far you have to go to make sure you don't violate the Isur. So Rav Moshe, though, as you're pointing out correctly, does not tell you why he thinks a Baal Nefesh should be Machmir. He says a Baal Nefesh should be Machmir. He writes he himself was Machmir. But he doesn't tell you why. So you could speculate. This morning in breakfast, there are various theories that were offered, which might or might not be correct. I don't know. At the very least, I think Rav Moshe was aware that his position was a chiddush. It's a chiddush on many levels. His idea of Yedia Brura, to say that even Chasam Sofer would be Moda, etc., etc. And therefore, Baal Nefesh should be Machmir. Maybe that's the reason, but I don't know. All I could do is speculate. He doesn't tell you why he thinks a Baal Nefesh should be Machmir. Now, Rav Moshe here, in his chiddush, that Yedia Brura is Kiri'iya, is an idea that he has in other tshuvos as well. And it's also a big chiddush, maybe even a bigger chiddush in other places. There's one place, I think, where you see it maybe most striking, is in Yaradeya Aleph, Simen Nun Dalet. There he brings a very tragic story where in Europe, in Russia, you had all these people who basically, he writes that this story happened to him when he was in Moscow in Shnas Tafresh Tzadi Dalet. Nun Dalet, 154. He was in Moscow in Tafresh Tzadi Dalet, and the problem was that there were a lot of children who sadly were no longer observant. They ate nevelos, trefos. Their elderly parents were frum, and they couldn't live alone. There wasn't a nursing home that they could go to. So the elderly parents lived at the home of their non-observant children. And the problem is, what could they eat? Because their children have no ne'amanus. Usually, I'm allowed to eat at your house, because eidach ha'neman bisurin. That's because you keep kosher. If somebody doesn't keep kosher, so we don't say with them eidach ha'neman bisurin, and they're chashad lo zadavar. These kids would mamish eat treif. So what are they supposed to do? Right? They can't take care of themselves. They can't live independently anymore. So it's a very tragic situation. So Rav Moshe writes that perhaps there's makom for leniency. Why? V'chidashti sheyesh makom l'hakel l'harbe anashim. Be'im ha'av yodeya the kimli begavei debito the kalaso shelo yachshilu be'iser mishum demakir tiva biyadiya brura. The same words. You know that your son and daughter-in-law will not be machshil you. In other words, they say, Mom, Pop, we're going to have for you a special set of dishes, and we're going to go to the kosher store and buy you kosher food, and we will absolutely not give you non-kosher food. So, that's okay. And the children, the parents are absolutely certain. They know their kids very well. They might not be frum, but they're very honest people, and they would never be machshil them. So, that's okay. Right? And not only that, how do you know B'yadei Brurei says, A'idei sheniso saharbe pa'amim v'rosh ena machshilto mitam she'ena rota letzaro o shetiva shelo lahavi acher maldasa. Maybe they're not from, but they don't want to cause people that are from to be nichshal. Yachol ismoch alev lechol mashe mevashel es ba'ado mibasar v'chol davar kishe'amra lo shehu mibasar kasher uvekelem shezmino avuro mishum shelo nichnazeh begedern emonus ela b'yadiya atzmis shehu kiriya mamish kevan sheyodeya bibarur she'eno mishaker eslo. And the same rios that he brings over here. What's he saying? He's saying like this. When is it that we need to come on to the idea of eidach haneman bisurin? That's when there's some level of doubt. So the Torah is mechade certain types of nemanos, right? If I'm a beis din, so we say we need two eidim. Two eidim show up, even if I don't know who they are, but they're from Jews, they're kosher eidim, I believe them, I'll kill somebody based off of that. That's like a chiddush, like the famous Ramban points out, right? And likewise, for eidach haneman bisurin, somebody goes up to me, they seem to be a frum Jew, right? And they say, I cooked something for you, I'll let you eat it, right? I don't necessarily trust them. If they say, could I borrow $10,000? So I don't know. I don't know who they are. I'm not going to just give them $10,000, right? But I'm allowed to eat their food. That's the Torah's chiddush. Chiddush is that eidach haneman bisurin. So when there's some level of doubt, there's a safek, the Torah says, oh, eidach haneman bisurin, you're believed. But what about if there's zero doubt? It's not even a suffix. You're certain, b'yadiya brura, that this thing is kosher, even though it doesn't have the technical rules of nemanos, right? So, still, in that case, it's going to be mutter. You could never be certain, just like the sort of what Tzvi was asking before. You can't be certain in America that there's no camel milk, and you can't be certain that your son or daughter isn't going to be machshil you. Good. So what he tells you is that if you're certain, you feel certain that this is true, meaning say there's no doubt in your mind, I think that's what he's saying, right? And it's not just that you're gullible, right? But there's reason for there to be no doubt, and there is no doubt, so you're right, nothing is really certain, but because you're certain, based off of strong evidence, so that is certain knowledge, it's kiilu you saw your son and daughter cook, in which case you don't need namanas, because you saw it. That's Rav Moshe's chiddush. Now, there's a big chiddush here. Rav Moshe is basically extrapolating from, in both of these tshuvos, it's the same idea, from the world of Beis Din, where we do have this principle, this Anan Sadi principle, when the Dayanim know a certain thing, even though they don't have technical ne'amanus for it, then it's ki'ilu they saw it. And saying that, that principle, which we do, I think, pretty clearly apply in Beis Din, and he's applying it to Kashrus as well. Well, the types of, so Rav Moshe tries to show it in two contexts. One is in Beis Din, right, when Beis Din knows certain things, like his example of killing somebody, even though you didn't see the Maisabiyah, right, but you saw enough to be sure that there was a Maisabiyah, right, and other cases in Beis Din, or Ede Lakiyamadava or the like. So again, there are a number of places where, again, I think Rav Moshe does prove it, and he's saying this is going to apply across the board. That's Rav Moshe's chiddush. Now, this tshuva, again, both of these are if you hold of these chidushim, there are a lot of very interesting applications to these. I remember once when I was younger, so we had a non-frum relative that kept a kosher kitchen. And my family was no egg to eat by them. That was what you know, everybody assumed they keep kosher, so you could eat by them. So I realized at a certain point that this wasn't so pashut. So I asked Rabbi Breidowitz, and Rabbi Breidowitz said that at least b'shas adchak, if you're certain that the food is kosher, even though they don't have ne'manas, then you could be mako. And he invoked this Rav Moshe. Now, that was a very big chiddush. First of all, Rav Moshe himself writes later on in Chelek Beis of Yoredeya, where was it? Mem Gimel, that you shouldn't apply this kula very broadly. It's only in this very limited case that I said it, where there's really Yediyah Brura, and it's a Shasach Chag Gadol. These are old people that don't have any other way to live and the like. But Lemaisa, he let the worm out of the can, or whatever they say, can out of the worm, right? So as I said, this is a kula that has very far-reaching applications. I'll just give you one other example, and I'll take your question, where you might see a similar idea. It's not exactly the same, but very similar. Rav Schechter has a very beautiful article in the RJJ Journal from a while back. I don't know if I wrote down where it is. On kosher tuna. It's one from many years ago. Anyway. Here it is. I didn't write where it was. Anyway, so he has a tshuva on canned tuna. He talks about a number of issues, but one of the issues with canned tuna is as follows, that they basically don't have a mashgiach, certainly not a mashgiach tmidi, at these canneries. So, okay, but rove things that are caught by the tuna fisher boats, especially nowadays, used to be worse because there were more of a dolphin issues. Now they don't catch many dolphins. So you have a good rove that this is actually tuna, not dolphin. So even though you don't have nemanas, you don't have mashkiach checking, but you could follow the rove. So maybe that sounds good, except there's a big problem. The Rivash writes that we don't follow rove. This is a kuf tzadi base. We don't follow rove when it comes to simanim on fish, because there's a mitzvah in the Torah that says to be bodek b'simane dag. So what do you need a mitzvah from the Torah? Obviously, you have to be bodek, you have to know it's kosher. So the mitzvah is mechadesh that you basically need certain knowledge. You shouldn't be somech on the rov, right? So even if, ichveis, you don't check for simanim. You're buying fish from a fish store, and the fish store already takes off the scales, right? You're buying filleted fish. And al pi rov, the fish that they say is kosher, is actually kosher fish. But, you know, there's some miut maybe that isn't kosher. There's some tricksters, people that try to fake you out. So the Rivash is, you can't be somech on rov b'chiyai gavna, because that's exactly what the mitzvah is mechadish. So l'chora, the fact that there's a rov tuna in these canneries shouldn't be sufficient. So Rav Schechter writes, that would be true if it's just a basic rov. But this is a super duper extra special rove. Now, why do I use all those adjectives? Because Rav Schechter in that article, I'll just tell you, Derech Agav, he says there's five levels of rove. Five levels. So number one is what he calls a slim majority, something like 51%. That's a rove. Torah says, Achrei Amlahatos, we know even 51% is a rove. However, that's a very weak rove. Tosas and Avodah Zarah, Mem Aleph on the base says, according to the Rav Schechter, that in that case, we don't say Ruba Chazaka Ruba Adif. Why? Because usually we say Rubu Chazaka Rubu Adif, because Rov is a birur, Chazaka is an anhaga. But a Rov of 51% is also an anhaga. And therefore, you don't assume that it beats out a Chazaka. Then you have what he calls a strong prevailing probability, which he estimates at 70 or 80%. And here, we say Rubu Chazaka Rubu Adif. But there's still a Mi'ra Matzoi. So Midrabanan, for example, there were goes there that Heichad Efshar Levarer, Tzarech Levarer, even though there's a rove. Then we have rove number three, an overwhelming majority. This is over 90%. In other words, there's no Mir HaMatzoi. Here, the rove is so strong that even though you could check Midrabanan, you don't have to check, right? You're allowed to go ahead and bite into your apple, and don't be choshesh, there's a worm. You might be biting into a worm. You know, 5% of apples might have worms in them. not around here, but even in a place where that's true or whatever, there are certain fruits and vegetables that have infestation levels, very small, 5%, so you have to check them. No, you don't have to check them. That's overwhelming majority. Then we have category 4, so strong, for example, 99%, that even Reb Meir is not choshish for it. Right? The Gemara says that when you have a muted muta, Reb Meir isn't choshish. Now, some of the examples of muted muta is like Trey Ruby, right? But Poskim at least apply the principle of muted muta to say something that's very, very unlikely. So that's like 99%. And then, topping the list is a new category. The Chasam Sofer basically made up this category. You don't even have 1 in 1,000. It's super, super, duper, extra special rove. Not even 1 in 1,000. In that case, we don't have to consider the miyut at all. Nobody considers the miyut. It's overwhelmingly unlikely. That's his example, correct. About this, we say Shomer Psayim Hashem, and even though, like you said, muted muter mechal Shabbos or the like, good. So he claims that the Rivash, when he says we don't tell Mechan Rov, that means categories 1 through 4. But category 5 is, again, very similar to what Rav Moshe says. It's Kilu Yusat, right? This is not... even if, and this sort of addresses your question is, well, there's always a chance, right? Always a chance. So maybe it's 1 in 1,000,000, but there's always a chance. No, that type of overwhelming majority, where the only chance is basically something that's so far-fetched, not even 1 in 1,000, so there, that doesn't just have the status of a rove, but even in cases where we wouldn't be so mechan rove, like Simani Dagim, we are willing to be Mekel. So again, I'm not saying that this is exactly the same as Rav Moshe. If I recall, when I once heard this from Schechter, he used the term Anan Tzadi about this, which is why I think it's a similar idea to Rav Moshe. So that's a similar type of idea. Okay, yes, do you have a question from before? Or?
No, not anymore.
Okay, great.
Did you say
Rav
Shechter had 5 categories?
Yes. Category number 1 is the... I'm sorry, I'll go over them. Number 1 is slim majority. Number 2 is prevailing probability. Number 3...
Doesn't he
have
4? Yeah, I thought he had
4. This is from his article. V'zeh
HaLashon. Can you say the percentages?
51%, 70-80%, above 90%. You say there's a gap. So maybe he's unsure, but anyway. Above 99%, and not even Echad Minei Aleph.
Not above 99%,
99%.
99%. And then
up to, from 99%
to
99.9%.
So is this...
50? Obviously, Rav Shechter is not... You know, it's not just going into percentages. And I think more than actual percentages, it likely relates to how we see this. In other words, do we see this as something that's most likely going to happen, or do we see this as something that's certainly going to happen? That's why, again, it's similar to Rav Shechter, Rav Moshe. Mm-hmm.
So is this just category conceived as a suffix? I mean, because Rav Moshe doesn't think it's a suffix.
Exactly.
So
correct.
This is not a suffix.
I think so. Again, I'm not saying, I don't want to put words into Rav Shechter's mouth. He doesn't say this is the same as Rav Moshe, but I think it's very similar to Rav Moshe. Mm-hmm.
How does he know the chiluk between the above 90 and the 99%?
Nafka Mina is Rav Meir.
No. And Rav Meir is only the 99%.
In other words, we are Choshes Lemiyot Malkum Shefshel Levarer. But we're not, but Rav Meir, right? Rav Meir rejects all roves.
90% rove.
Correct. Correct. Now, again, Ayin Sham, he brings a number of ayos in Poskim for each of these categories. So I don't, now's not the time to go through them. If you want to have the article here, you can take a look. But he brings ayos for that chiluk.
Can you extend sort of Moshe's kula basically to any like local farmer that's not Jewish that you trust as well, that you implicitly trust?
Rav Moshe is very hesitant to apply this kula, and as in the truth is in Tshuva Mem Dalad, and I don't know if you got to it, that's the really long one, he points out that he's not makel by farms. He's only makel by dairy plants, right? Because by farmers, he thinks that there isn't government supervision. So according to Rav Moshe, you can't actually go to a farm and buy milk. Now, then you'll say, well, so how does it help by the dairy plants? Because the farmers get it from the dairy plants. So take a look. He basically says that the relevant point is when it's Baal Birshus Yisrael, and that's after the dairy plants. And therefore it's okay. Take a look. He addresses that point. But he actually thinks, Rav Moshe, I don't want to get into that now, but he thinks that you can't buy milk from farms. You'd only buy milk from dairy plants. And the relevant point is Baal Yad Yisrael. And since there's government supervision in the dairy plants, even though there's not government supervision in a farm, that's sufficient. Rabbi Gordimer has an article in the OU documents. I'll be quoting a lot of OU documents in the coming tshuvos, in the coming shiurim. But the OU has hundreds and hundreds of tshuvos on, thousands of tshuvos on all sorts of questions that came up over the years. So Rabbi Gordimer, who lives in Washington Heights, you see him in yeshiva all the time, is the dairy specialist at the OU. The ironic thing is he's makbid on Chalv Yisrael, so he doesn't even get to eat all the things he's in charge of the hechsher for them. He's a big Talmud Chacham. And so he points out that nowadays there's no inspections of the dairy plants. The inspections are all at the farm level. But he still argues it's a whole nice shtickle type of why Rav Moshe is still relevant, even though it would seem like it shouldn't be. Again, if you're interested, I have the article here. I can show it to you. Okay.
Sorry, one more thing.
Yes.
He said that Rav Moshe, when he was mocked for eating at parents, he said that's only, you know, b'shas, because of the shas adchak.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he doesn't use that lashon for
milk.
He
correct. Because probably the knowledge is stronger for milk. That's how you're really supposed to know. Maybe your kids are just lying to you and they're not telling you every so often. And also, where there's a din of edech and a yisurin, it's more of a chiddush.
It's
the raisa, right? I'm saying there's here, over there, at least you have the pre-chiddush in your back pocket. I'm saying there's all sorts of reasons to be mechalik. Okay. There's another tshuva in Chelek Dalid Simen Hay, where he uses a stronger word. He writes, you should only be mekel b'shas adchak, to buy stam chalav, as opposed to all the other places where he says only bali nefesh should be machmir. Unclear. That's in Chelek Ches. So whoever wrote the Hasagos over there says, it's interesting that all the other places...
Put Simen again one more time, sorry?
Simen Hay.
Simen Hay.
That's you know how they have the smaller print over there? And
I guess Moshe Tem.
Yeah, that's what some people call it. But this is a letter. It's an old letter, actually. It says the date. It's quite an old letter. Anyway.
Why did they only publish it later?
I'm not going to talk about that. Anyway. Fine. So that's Rav Moshe Shita. Among other poskim, the Aruch HaShulchan, if you had to take a look, is very machmir about this. And he writes, Maisa Neirav Ayom, what happened when people were makel? Now, again, here to be makel, Samech HaNepri Chadash, right? He didn't have Rav Moshe. There wasn't government supervision in the Vardik. He said that there was a story. There were a bunch of travelers. They went once to an inn. So here's Samech HaNepri Chadash, and they bought coffee. So they said, after a while, this guy made the most delicious coffee in the world. And he always had so much delicious cream. So nowadays, you know, if you want cream, you just go to the store and you buy cream. But and if you have a cow, so you only have a certain amount, you know, the cow only produces a certain amount of cream. So how did this little farmer have so much cream? So one day they decided to ask him, how do you have so much cream? He says, oh, no, I don't have so much cream. But if you boil the brains of the cow in the milk, so then it makes the milk very creamy. And that's why my coffee is so good. So they came back, and they were heartbroken. And so the Aruch HaShulchan says, you see from here, an idea that the Gra famously says that there were many reasons for Chazal and why they made their gzeros, and they don't always tell you all of the reasons, like you saw today about Gvina, that sometimes the reasons were hidden because they didn't want to reveal them, because if they're revealed, people won't follow them.
How are you ever supposed to be done in gzeros then?
So that's what he's saying. You can't be. That's what the Chasam Sofer is saying. We're not down on Xeros. In other words, Chazal say something's Aser, it's Aser. And don't tell me the reason's in Shaykh, so it's not Shaykh anymore. No.
So then how could you... I mean, the Rabban kills the guy who says, this is why that Rabban...
Okay, so we'll talk about that Ramban. We'll do that tomorrow. Bez Hashem, that Ramban. It's an interesting Ramban, right? He doesn't say just low plug, that Ramban, right? As opposed to the Rashba. Yeah, we'll get it tomorrow. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Among Sephardi poskim, so Rav Avadia, Yerodeya, Chelek Dalet, in the Yechav Adas, Chelek Dalet, Simon Mem Beis, is Machmir, which is interesting because many of the Mekilim were Sephardim, right? The Pri Chadash, the Radvaz, the Tashbates, but he's Machmir because he writes that the Chida says that the Minhag in Eretz Yisrael was Lahachmir. We mentioned yesterday the Rav's Kula. So some of you asked, just to address the question. The Rav's, again, had said we could be Mekel for three reasons. Number one, maybe the Tashbates is right. That as long as they have no Tamei animals in their herds, it's mutter. Imtin Salomar, the Tashbates is wrong. Maybe Rav Moshe's right, that government supervision is sufficient. Vimtin Salomar, Rav Moshe's wrong. So you had this very interesting chap. Nobody else had this chap. He said, well, our cows aren't milked. They are milked by machine. So therefore, that's not chalo shechal v'lakum. So you're laughing. Saying, oh, come on, give me a break.
No,
so it makes a lot of sense in the following thing. Let's explain. The Rav was basically saying like this. The Rav was saying that there's two ways to understand this gzeira, as we've been seeing throughout. One is that it's a chash, and the other is that it's a low plug. So if you follow the view that it's a chash, so then if the chash is shaykh, it's going to be mutter. If it's not shaykh, it's going to be aser. And nowadays, it's not shaykh, so it should be mutter. Now, avada, if you took that approach, we're not going to be machalik between milking it by hand or milking via machine. Because all we care about is whether the chash is relevant. So if the prichadish is right, there's no chiluk between milking by hand or milking by machine. The only relevant chiluk is there a chance that there's non-kosher milk mixed in here or not? The gzera will be defined broadly, but determined by the relevance. Masha Enkein, if you take the other approach, that no, that this was formulated not as a chash, but as a gzeira, as a low plug. So then, it's only exactly what they prohibited. So what they prohibited will be aser no matter what, even if the chash isn't relevant. But what wasn't prohibited is not bichlal. And therefore, since when the Mishnah said, chalav shechalvo akum, they meant chalvo, they meant milking with your hands, and this is not what the gzeira was referring to, so we don't have to expand the gzeira, and therefore it should be mutter. Even though none of the other poskim that I saw mentioned it, I thought it was a very powerful argument.
How does the Rav know that that was the lashon that they?
That's what the Mishnah says. And how do we know anything? We know what it says in the Mishnah and Gemara. The Gemara says chalvo. Chalvo means milking. This isn't milking. This is a vacuum cleaner pump.
If we'll say that this is...
No, you're not going to say, maybe it's, oh, Shabbos, it should be mutter. No, Shabbos is dependent on...
Right, I understand that, but...
On the Totsah.
It's the entire concept. Again, even if you're not going to say it's a chashash, the original Xavier was because of a chashash, and so...
That's true.
Why would they formulate it in
but
such
that's
a
the whole,
way
that's
that,
the whole point. In other words, once you're going to say, like the Chasam Sofer, that the Xavier was not built on the chashash, so then it makes sense that the Gzera was only what they assert.
Well, the Gzera had to be based on...
It was motivated by the Chashash. The Chashash motivated them to make a Gzera that was meant as a Gzera Klalas. But therefore, it's only what they were Gozer. So just like you're going to be Machmir based off of that and say, well, it's also even where the Chashash isn't relevant, you could also be Mako based off of that.
But that's making a very huge, very large assumption.
Okay. But it's a reasonable assumption.
Even if we say that it's not, so let's say it's not called chalav akum, because chalav akum is only what in akum mamish,
mm-hmm.
is hence. So
isn't there still a problem of like kol shefkidu biyad akum? Because the person who's now after the milk has been milked, so it's been.
Okay, that's a good question. So that's what the the Darkei Moshe, if you saw, talked about that question, and we have different halachos. But for that halacha, for example, we're generally makel any time there's no realistic chance that he switched it, right? So here there's no realistic chance because camel milk costs 5 times or 20 times as much as cow's milk. So therefore, one could be makel, right? Even for Basar Shenesale Min Ha'ayin, where we're most machmir, we're only machmir where basically there is some type of reason to suspect that maybe the guy replaced your kosher meat with non-kosher meat. But if there's no reason to suspect that, so we're makel. So you're right. You would have to be concerned, but the parameters of that are certainly met. Okay. Fine. So that's the conclusion of our basic discussion. Just a couple of ha'aros that come up. So one is the issue of rov. So if you saw at the very end, the Ramah implied, and the Shach was medayik in the Ramah, that we would not rely on rov for chalav akum. We would need shishim. There's an interesting question, is that deraisa or derabanan? It comes up a little bit in the Beis Yosef and Darkei Moshe. First of all, would you say midoraisa you need shishim? Now's not the time to talk about it when you learn some in Sariches. It's an interesting question because do we say it's min b'mino because they're both chalav, or do we say that it's min b'she'eno mino because they have different tamim, or do we go basar shmar, do we go basar taima, machloka, shach, rama? Not our issue for now. But l'maisa, the shach, sifkan yod zayin, is medayik from the rama, that rov is insufficient, you would need shishim, and even he quotes the Isser v'Heter that says for Gvina Sakom or Mekel for Rov, but the Dagom Revava points out that even the Isser v'Heter who's Mekel is Machmir for Chalav Akum, that you require Shishim. Fine. So Lechora, based off of that, I would assume that it would also be a problem for Kalim. So Maisa Shaya, this once happened to me. We once had some relatives over, and
He
says it fairish, but it's also it's l'chorat. It naturally it has to be true, right? In other words, for Kalim, we're concerned that anytime there's going to be blios, it's going to be aser. And if you said that rov was enough, then maybe you could be mekel. Even that's not pashat, as we'll see from Vishalakam, but maybe you could be mekel because l'chora usually you'll have rov against the kli, not always, like he points out in Sifkan Yizayin, but usually. But once you say you need shishim, so l'chora kalim are a problem, and that's what he says. So let's say you have you're makbid on Chalav Yisrael, and your guests at somebody's house that isn't makbid on Chalav Yisrael. Fine. So Gvaldik, they're going to buy for you Chalav Yisrael milk and Chalav Yisrael cheese and all those things. But could you use their kalim? For you, these are treif kalim. Or if you're not machbid, if you hold a Rav Moshe, could you feed them? Because you're giving them something that they think is aser. So if you take a look at the Emes Liakov on the Shulchan Aruch, on this Simen, it's page 308, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky writes that even those that are machmir on Chalav Yisrael could use the dishes and the kalim of those who are mekel. Why is that? So he invokes the famous idea from the Ramah in Yerudea, Simen Samech Dalet, Sif Tes, of B'nai Rhinus. We'll get to that in one moment. I saw just Derech Agav also Rav Avadi in the Tshuva I mentioned before, Chavos Das Dalet Membeis is Mako, also for Kalim. He has a different reason. He thinks that for Kalim you could be Somech on a Prichadash. Not so clear why you could be Somech on a Prichadash for Kalim and not for the food, but he has a certain argument that's true. But let's focus on Rabbi Yaakov. So Rabbi Yaakov says you could be Mako, right? This is Maisim Chol Yom. People do this all the time. They're Makbid on Chalav Yisrael, but they'll eat on the Kalim of people that aren't Makbid. So the question is, why is this true? So what's the precedent? So Rabbi Yaakov doesn't explain. He just says, take a look at the Ramah by Rhinus, B'nai Rhinus. So what's that talking about? So if you look at the Beis Yosef, Simen Samech Dalet, he quotes a Sefer Aguda. There was a certain debate about a certain type of chelev, whether it's mut or not, a certain thing. There we're even dealing with the Nisa Deraisa. And some places had the practice that presumed that this was Aser. Some places were noeg heter. So he writes Be'erport, I don't know what that place is, Noagim Lasser, Uvashar Kilos Noagim Lahatir, Amnam Elu Enim Noim, Mikalim Shel Elu Umibishulayhem. Those that are Machmir are not Machbid on the Kalim, and even Bishulayhem, we have to figure out what Bishulayhem means, but it sounds like even Taroves, of the Mikilim. But he doesn't tell you why, he just says it. And the Shulchan Aruch, or the Ramah at least, in Siftes, as I mentioned, cites that Aguda. However, he doesn't mention Bishulayim, he just writes, Aval Ein Ostrin Kalim Shel B'nei Rhinos, Ho'il the Noagim Bo Heter. So he just writes, the Kalim are Mutter. But if you take a look at the Shach over there, Sith Kat and Yud Beis, he mentions Tavshil. He writes, Umashma defilu yesh ta'aroves mechelev hadavuk lekaris betavshil ve'enu batal betavshil ein nimnoim melechol. Wow. So again, Kalim and Tavshil. The Taz says, no, when the Aguda says mi bishulayim, he meant when they're shishim. Why does he need to say it? Unclear. Maybe you don't say Hanan. And the Prima Gadim also tries to say, even the Shach agrees that you would need shishim. Okay, so let's say we ask and you need shishim. So okay, but that's okay. Again, usually if you go to somebody's house, so they're not going to put any chalav, stam chalav into your food. They're going to use 100% chalav Yisrael. But we still have the issue of kalim. So why are kalim mutter? What's the basis? So there's really two ways you could read this. One way is to say kalim aren't fundamentally more kal. It's just that there's a principle that we assume stam kalim einem b'nei yoman. We're actually going to talk about that tomorrow. If you noticed all the Rishonim on our sugya, the sugya of Pasakum, like the Ramban, point out that we have halacha l'maisa, we assume stam kalim einem b'nei yoman. The halacha is, without going into too many details, that even though you can't use treif kalim, that's l'chatchila. But b'di'eved, if their kalim or treif have not been used in 24 hours, so we assume that any taste that's imparted from these kalim will be no sin tam lefgam, and it's mutter. Right? You know, like 5 out of 6 Yaradeya questions, you know, you just answer, was it Ben Yomo? No, it's okay. Stam Kalim Ein Bnei Yoman. Fine. Great. So maybe when the Shulchan Aruch writes that you're allowed to eat at people's houses that have certain leniencies that you don't hold of, but that are, you know, have legitimate basis in halacha, he's because Stam Kalim Ein Bnei Yoman. But maybe in a chanami, if I knew that this was a kli ben yomo, I wouldn't be able to be mego, or not. So that's not so clear. However, there's a tshuvas maral bach, simin kuf chaf aleph. It's also quoted by the Be'er Hetiv over there, and he says it depends. Really, the kula only makes sense if the kli is eno ben yomo. If the kli is ben yomo, it would be aser. However, he says that's only true if you are mekel Bitaras Vadai. But if you're Machmir Misafek, so then you could be Mako. And he invokes the Sugya of Demai. All of you today saw the Taisus that quoted Demai, right? By Pasakim at the beginning. So Demai is a stringency based off of Safek, and we're there Mako by Demai for Taroives. So certainly Kalim, we could be Mako, and then it's okay. So in terms of Kalim, going back to the Chalav Akum case, but the truth is these shilas come up all the time. They come up, someone's machbir on Chadash, someone's machbir on Chalav Yisrael, someone's machbir on Pasakum, a myriad of, you know, a lot of different cases. Someone's machbir on Chassidish Shechita, or all sorts of things. So what the Maral Bach says is it depends. Are you machbir because you learned the sugya, and you think it's aser, right? You learned the sugya of Chalav Akum, you think the Moshe is wrong, you think the Pri Chadash is wrong. You think the Chassam Sofer is right. He convinced you, right? So the Chassam Sofer, like we saw, he was pretty convinced. You know, he even had that little sad lahakal at the end for the Zimun, but more or less, he was pretty sure that it was Aser. So the Chassam Sofer couldn't eat on somebody's Kalim who was Mako, like the Pri Chadash. But, if a person thinks, this is Epis Chumra, right? Or I'm unsure, so I'm going to be noig lahachmir, or a minug, or the like. So then, there's basis to be lenient, and even if the kalim are b'nei yoman. And that's presumably what Rabbi Yaakov had in mind. Rabbi Yaakov had in mind that, look, this is a suffix, this is a shaila. The Pri Chodesh is Megillah. He doesn't quote Rav Moshe. The tshuva that Rav Yaakov wrote it was before Rav Moshe's first tshuva was printed. Rav Moshe's first tshuva was printed in 54. This was written in 52. So he doesn't quote Rav Moshe. He quotes the Chazon Ish, the Pri Chodesh. Good. So those who are Megillah, Yesh Lahom, Ilismoch, the Chazon Ish, and the Pri Chodesh are Megillah. Now, Rav Yaakov says, okay, but maybe a person should be Machmir and Achinami. But it's not like he's certain that the Chazon Ish and the Pri Chodesh are wrong. He's Machmir Misafik. So if you're Machmir Misafik, then you could be Mekel on Kalim, based off of this halach of Klei Rhinus and the Maral Bach. And then you don't even have to be worried that it's Stam Kalim and Ben Yom. You don't have to ask them, oh, you know, when was the last time you used this pot for Chalav Akum? Right? You could just be Mekel across the board for Kalim.
What if your Rav is sure about it, but you yourself don't know?
So it's a good question.
Like, I think, for example, I mean, I guess the same thing could apply for, like, people who use food warmers on Shabbos.
Who use what?
Food warmers on Shabbos. So I don't, it's not Nogea the particular thing about the Kalim, but in mm-hmm. general, to eat the food, rather, you know, they themselves don't know, but the Rav is very, their Rav is very sure about it. Like, their Rav is passing it to Torah's God, but... Mm-hmm.
So it could be that usually when it comes to... Bishul and Shabbos might be a little different. There's some other factors because the Mishnah Berurah writes from the Gra that if b'di'eved, in other words, if the food was already cooked, then it doesn't become aser of Maisa Shabbos if they're mekilim. So, to some degree, these shailas you have to actually know the halachos of each local case. Like I said, the Gra might say that Bishul B'Shabbos being Aser B'Di'eved might be a little different. Might also be a difference between if the Isser on Shabbos was warming or the Isser on Shabbos was Bishul, right? So you have to know the specifics. But generally speaking, in this type of case, so saying like this, I'm a person, I say Lecha Rav, so you should do what your Rav said. So your Rav said, don't have, you know, have Chal of Yisrael, so you have Chal of Yisrael. So you don't know about anything. You don't know about the Bichadosh, you don't know the Chesam Zover, you just follow the Rav.
Well, you're not somebody who would pass in for
right, exactly. So what's Halacha? So, I think that I don't know, I'm not sure, but I leave Omer that they could still apply Rabbi Yaakov's Kula. You could still apply Rabbi Yaakov's Kula. In other words, Rabbi Yaakov's Kula only doesn't apply when you are vaday their rav. And here you know it's not true. You know your rav says one thing. You know there are great poskim who say something else. You don't know who's right or wrong. So you're following your rav's opinion, which is the right thing to do. But it doesn't mean that you know both and vaday that the other opinion's wrong. So maybe the rav shouldn't eat on my kalim, but his baal batim could, unless the rav paskins they can't. But min hastam, I think one could still apply Rabbi Yaakov's leniency. The Maral Bach, take a look, it's interesting, should we try some Yashiv Arrived based off of this? Fine. Along similar lines, here's a shach that you quoted yesterday. It's a shach in Yardei Kuf Yod Tes Sifkan Chaf. Let's say, here's a slightly different question, again, along similar lines. Let's say I am Mekel, I'm Machmir about something, but I'm eating at somebody's house who's Mekel. So again, the Shach is Mechalek. He says that if I'm Machmir Min Hadin, so then I can't use their Kalim, even if they're Enam B'nei Yoman, I think. No, sorry, if they're B'nei Yoman. And they can't even make it for me. They can't even cook for me. Right, he writes, Vasa Lavasha lo bekelov, afilu enan bnei yoman, vein sarach lomar sha'aser le'oser lomar lehamatil levashel lo bekelov. So if I think Chalavakum is aser 100%, so I can't say, can you make me a cup of coffee with Chalav Yisrael, because the mug, even if the mug is eno ben yomo.
Is it two separate things? You couldn't drink it anyway, so what's the difference?
No. They're going to use Chalav Yisrael for my coffee. But the Kli has Bli also.
You couldn't use the Kli.
I can't. So the Shach says.
Tell them, Malik, you don't tell them. So, like, with me either? What's the.
So they can't do it for me. You might have thought that they could make it for me. And then, since it's Eino Ben Yomo, I'm allowed to eat it, right? Or I'm allowed to make your makban on Chav Yisrael, I'm not. So I'm allowed to make you the cup of coffee without chal, with chal, you know, with black coffee. I'm allowed to make it for you because there's no isser for me to use this kli. Usually, remember, why is it that I can't use a kli that's Eino Ben Yomo? It doesn't trafe up the food, right? The answer is the chazal will go, so you're not allowed to use kelim sheinam b'nei yomon. Maybe it's because of gzeir atu ben yomo, but it's basically it's an iser maisa, right? So there's no iser maisa on me to make the coffee because I think it's mutter. And then once it's made, it's b'dievet, so then it's mutter for you. So I would have thought, you might have thought, and in fact this is exactly what the Pri Chadash says. The Pri Chadash disagrees with the Shach. The Pri Chadash is siman taf tzadi vav in Or Chaim in dinei minhagei iser. So the Pri Chadash says no. I'm allowed to make you the cup of coffee, again, black coffee, right? But the kelim were boleya stam chalav. So I'm allowed to make you the coffee. Why? There's nothing wrong with me pouring the cup of coffee. Because after all, usually you can't use kelim sheinam b'nei yomon because it's a nisr to use kelim sheinam b'nei yomon. But for me, this is a kli kosher, so I'm allowed to use it. And once it's made, it's mutter, because everything made on a kli sheinam b'nei yomon is always mutter b'diavad. So that's fine. L'didi, it's fine. And then once it's made, for you, it's fine. That's what the B'chadosh says. It's very compelling. Shach says, no, you can't do that. Can't even do that. But, again, he says that he doesn't discuss chumrah. He says that's when you think it's asr min adin. But what about if it's a minhag, then it's mutter.
Why does he say that? What's his explanation? Is that an animal? What's the problem?
Why is the shach machmir in the case machmir?
Yeah.
I'll read you what he writes, and I'll tell you what I think. The asr levasr lo bekelav afilu im enam ne yoman bein tzach lomar shasr lo oser to tell him. So, and then he says that's not true if it's Misha Minag. Yeah, the logic is very simple, because for you, this is treif, right? And therefore, for you, I'm using a kli, since I'm making it for you, if I make it for myself and there's leftover, no, but you're not, there's an issue to use kelim sheinam b'nei yomon.
Right.
So, if I'm making for myself and there's leftovers for you, then zecher, it's okay. But if I'm making it for you, it's like shliach l'dar aveira. Okay. Well, and that's what's wrong. You're not allowed to, since I'm making, as long as I'm making it for you, so then I'm l'chatchila relying on bittel, right? Let's say it that way. And mevatlin is l'chatchila. True, I don't need bittel to make this mutter, but for it to be mutter for you, I need it to be bittel. So I'm relying l'chatchila on bittel.
Let's say that someone's accepted Shabbos and somebody else doesn't. Like, let's say someone has a chumrah ben atam, so you could tell. Somebody who does not
So let's talk about that for a moment. It's an interesting question. So that's not pashut what you're saying. But Rav Yaakov in this tshuva over here says the same thing. So what about someone who's makbid on Chal of Yisrael? So is he allowed to give his, let's say somebody drops off a Hershey bar at his house? So is he allowed to give it to the non, you know, I have a free Hershey bar, so could I give it to you? You know, why should I throw it out? Why should I give it to a guy? So, am I allowed to give it to you? So, maybe we would say, look, if I'm machmir, so I should be machmir across the boards, right? To the extent that it's aster for me to eat it, it's lifna iver for me to give it to you. Or, do we say no? That since you are relying on a legitimate posik to be lenient, you're relying on Rav Moshe. So, I don't rely on Rav Moshe, but you rely on Rav Moshe, yesh lechal mi lismoch, right? And therefore, there should be nothing wrong with me giving it to you. Yeah? So I don't know. I don't know. Well, I'll tell you what I found on the topic. So Rav Yaakov is Mekel. And again, he doesn't get into the details why, but there are two tshuvos. The Chazon Ish is Machmir in the Shaila, not by Chal of Akum, but in general, by that you can't give something to somebody who is machmir. If you're machmir on something, you can't give it to someone who's mekel. He says if it's just a minhag, it's okay. Because an example, he says, you're allowed to give, let's say, seven to us once. So our family, I think, is machmir on gebracht. So somebody once gave us a gift, they gave us something gebracht. So I'm allowed to give it to a non-gebracht person. So Chazon Ish says, well, those who are machmir on gebracht don't really think it's chametz. V'haraya, they're mekel on the eighth day. right? If you thought it was chametz, then we don't start eating chametz or suffing chametz or sfeikashal chametz on the eighth day. So you don't really think it's chametz, so then you could give it to somebody else. But if you actually thought it was a chumrah that was a chumrah, so then you couldn't. If you look like the Shulchan Aruch Harav, he's very machmir about kibrux. He thinks it's a real shash, right? So they're also machmir on the eighth day, right? Am I right? He doesn't bring in down any kulas on the eighth day. Shulchan Aruch Harav.
He doesn't mention it, but the minhag is to be
made. Yeah? Fahad doesn't shtim. So according to the minhag of Chabad is against the Chazanish's extrapolation.
Yeah.
But he's like super mach. He's like sure it's chametz.
They don't eat matzah on the table.
Right. I'm saying, but
for the eighth day.
In the eighth day, they have a minhag to actively make gebrek to every course. It's
like to get it out of their system. So, okay, I don't know.
Where's the chazanish?
I don't remember where. I'm sorry. But there's two tshuvos from Rosh Hashanah Zalman on the topic. Who's Mako? But there's a stira in the Mincha Shlomo. One tshuva is in Chelak Aleph, Simen Mem Dalid. And he's Mekel. He quotes the Mabit as a raya to be Mekel, as well as the Ksav Sofer. Mabit is Chelak Aleph, Simen Chaf Aleph. And here's the stira. And I have a theory how to be Miyashiv of it, but I'm not sure I'm right. It's a guess. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach is definitely Mekel to give it to somebody else who has Yeshal Mi Lismoch, if I think it's a Chumrah. As I'm Machmir, but I'm Machmir B'tayis Chumrah, and they're Mikilim, and Yeshal HaMal Mi Lismoch, so then I'm allowed to do it. But in one place, it sounds like if you think something is absolutely Aser Min Hadin, so then Vade, you can't give it to somebody else, because that's a Tarti Desasri. Even if you think, even if I know they're relying on a good, legitimate posek. It's true. But I think that good, legitimate posek is absolutely wrong. And what they're doing is Asar Gamor. So how, if I give it to them, it's Lefnei Iver. But if it's just Bataras Chumra, then there isn't an inconsistency. And that's where he's different than the Chazanish. The Chazanish says no. Even if it's Bataras Chumra, just like your Machmir not to eat it, you should be Machmir on Lefnei Iver. Rosh Shlomo Zalman says no. If it's Bataras Chumra, you don't have to be consistent in Chumras. Because since Yesh Lam Ami L'smoch, I think they're doing nothing wrong by being Mekel, so therefore there's nothing wrong with my giving it to them. In one place it sounds like that's true even if I'm sure it's wrong. In one place it sounds like if I'm sure they're wrong, even if Yesh Lam Ami L'smoch, you have to be Machmir. So you can take a look and see what you think to be Miyashev. Fine, one last thing. Which is avkas chalav, powdered milk. So there's a big debate among the poskim what the halacha is for avkas chalav. There's a couple of tshuvos from Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank where he is mekel. If you want to read them, I have them over here. They're pretty long, but it's Har Tzvi, Yerodei Chelak, Simen Kuf Gimel, and Kuf Dalid. And the Chazanish is Machmir. The Har Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, basically says it's Mutter because at least those who are Mekel on Chema, which again we didn't get into yet, so they say that the Gzeira only applies when it's the same, when the milk is in the form that Chazal asered it. Right? But if the milk is in a different form, like the milk was transformed into chema, or powdered milk, then it would be mutter. It's actually a very similar svara to what we said from the Rav in terms of the milking, right? You're right. In terms of the chshash, there's no difference between powdered milk and liquid milk. But in a case where there isn't really a chshash, so you're just being machmir alts lo plug, so then it's only aser in the way in which they asered it. And how did they aser it? They asered it in liquid form. And therefore, if it's in a different form, like powdered milk or butter, then it's going to be mutter. The Chazon Ish, Yerodea, Mem Aleph Dalet, vehemently disagrees. He says, no, if you look at the Mekilin for Chema, we'll get there, Bez Hashem, but why are they Mekel? They're Mekel for a totally different reason. That's because Treif milk isn't Maimed, right? But you could turn any milk into powdered milk. Powdered milk is just dehydrated milk. So, it's true, it's not in the same form, but who cares? Right? The reason that the Rishonim give to be Matir Chema is not relevant over here. You could turn pig's milk into powdered pig's milk, and therefore, if pig's milk is Aser, so too powdered pig's milk is Aser. So, Ayin Sham for more details. Okay, so we'll stop here, and Bezos Hashem, tomorrow we will start with Pas Akum.